Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Sometimes it's easy to get frustrated. You got to look at really the process, what's really going on the ground, and not speak in hypotheticals. You know, the most encouraging thing is, are they getting the intent? You know, that we started out here when Mike brought me in here. You know, you go back and you're constantly looking at what you're doing, how defenses are attacking you, how they're playing you. There's been some impressive stuff by the line, especially in the run game with our intent, you know, wearing people down. You know, I actually felt in the first half, you know, when we got the OPI, we had 4 drives there. We had the backed up situation, and we had that too many penalties in one where we kind of flipped the field and we lost, I think, 61 yards off the play extension with the hold, including the penalty. Now, the first half, we were getting closer. So you see the progress. You're not sitting there blowing smoke, trying to pump their tires. I mean, you have evidence of it. I definitely have seen progress. We need more points, clearly, and we'll get there.
Arthur Smith confident. He's seen progress in the Steelers' offense, and he says, yeah, they're going to score points. He went on to say this.
You know, we're like a startup on offense. As a startup company, we really are. You know, we've got a great defense and good teams, and you know, those are things why we go to work, and we got to keep working. But there's a couple of little things, and I don't want to bore you in too much nuance and context, but things that are clearly we've got to get better at, and we're looking at everything. But going back to that first half, you know, that's kind of who you want to be. You know, we were mixing and matching. We were being aggressive, different than we were in Atlanta. We've got to take that into the third quarter because they're going to make an adjustment, and we've got to be better there.
Arthur Smith, like a startup company on offense. And you know what? Sometimes we complicate these things, but he's 100% right. A rookie starting at center. Flip-flopping 2 inexperienced right tackles, an inexperienced left guard. This is a young offensive line. It is a quarterback running his system for the first time now through 2 games. Everybody's learning right now. Everybody across the league is learning right now. But this is an offense that's new, and this is not the line that they wanted to have. You had Jaylen Warren banged up week 1. It's okay if game 1, it doesn't look like the New Orleans Saints. Now, they got new stuff going on. Sometimes it does work out that way. Sometimes you get to play the Carolina Panthers week 1.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got Albany on your schedule. That happens, and that can help, I think, really speed up the development process. We're playing a really bad defense. It should look pretty good, and then you got confidence going into game 2. But I digress. I buy the analogy. We're like a startup on offense. It's okay to view it for what it is, Doran, in my opinion.
It is. But as long as you have a plan, you know, do you have a plan moving forward? And I think they have multiple plans, whatever, and it does run through the quarterback. It runs through the CEO, you know, of the company. It runs through the president. You know, Arthur Smith's obviously the owner, but it runs through the president. And what's the president going to do? I think there's 2 presidents. You know, one's Justin Fields, who's a young president that you kind of are like hoping that can bring in new business. And then the other president is that one that just been around for a long time that just knows exactly the landscape and how to approach everything. So I think that they have a plan. Rome wasn't built in a day. I think we have to understand that. We want to see high-powered offense. I get it. But if it makes sense, then I think it's okay. And I think to me, at least, and I think to you, that it does make a little bit of sense right now of what they have been doing. I just want to see that plan get expanded with the young quarterback.
Yeah.
And then you can get a lot of answers of how you approach the next plan with the young quarterback.
Yes.
So
I'm with you on that. And just listening to Arthur Smith talk, he sounds like a guy who has intention.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He knows where they've been through 2 games. He knows where they need to go, and he understands that it's not a finished product and that it takes time. He said, I'm not going to bore you guys with nuance and context. I felt, and I don't want to throw shade at the guy, but I felt like every Thursday when Matt Canada would talk, and then you and I would come in here and we'd play some Matt Canada clips, we'd be scratching our heads. What is this guy talking about? A lot of excuses, a lot of really non-answers.
Right. He would say stuff that he knew that it was football stuff that it was like, okay, like this is how you the too much detail because you didn't actually want to say anything and you didn't know what to say.
He didn't know what to say. And when you hear guys like George Pickens talk about the dam's going to break and other players on the offense saying the dam is already breaking, and then Arthur Smith is asked about it yesterday, and he said, oh, my guys are listening then. You know, Mike Tomlin, for all his ills, when he preaches something to the media on Tuesdays, or hell, you'll hear a lot of guys after a game all say the same thing. It ain't a coincidence. It's because Mike Tomlin has said it, and they buy in. For whatever you want to say or think about Mike Tomlin, his guys buy into the messaging. It's only two games. The guys are buying into Arthur Smith's messaging. Meanwhile, last year, Deontay Johnson quitting on plays. George Pickens wiping his social media clean. Deontay Johnson fighting with guys. Quarterbacks in year one with Mitch Trubisky and Matt Canada questioning some of the play calls. Najee Harris questioning some of the play calls. Look, it's a low bar to hurdle. But that's not what you're hearing out of the UPMC Rudy Sports Complex right now. They all understand the mission. And that's another thing you got with a business. You got the mission statement. Mm-hmm. They all buy in. They all believe. And, hey, that's not going to solve all the problems, but that's how you get in a room to start trying to solve the problems. Mm-hmm. So I'm encouraged by just listening to that guy talk, and I'm encouraged that his players all seem to have confidence, and they seem to understand what they're doing out there too, Doran. That was such a big thing with Canada. Guys would talk about after he got let go, when they had the dual-headed monster at OC last year, they understood why they were doing things.
Yeah.
And that seemed to make a difference. I think they understand the why this year, too.
For them to, for multiple players to say the same thing, the dam is about to break, like, I feel like that's a significant moment in this season. I think we're going to look back at that and be like, huh. You know, because Arthur Smith saying, well, at least my guys are listening to me. Like, they're listening to what I'm saying. Like, players wouldn't say that unless they believed it. Like, they wouldn't go out to the media and be like, yeah, you know, Arthur says the dam's about to break and it is. Like, they wouldn't just say that. So they obviously feel something is, you know, they're embarking on a situation where it's going to open up. That's why I keep coming back to Sunday being that day of being different.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, there's going to be 9-6 and it's going to be just a run fest, a defensive slug fest. I just feel like it's going to be different. I feel like it's going to open. I feel like that dam is going to break and they're going to actually, you know, we're going to see what Justin Fields can really, really do. I feel like a lot of the players feel that way as well. Just by that little quote. Just by that quote.
I talk into a microphone and I spout opinion, but I learn every day from you. Every day. And you say things about a lot of things that I then go, But you say a lot of things about football. And then the show will be over and I'll be at home and the girls are asleep. And I'm like, Why did Doran say that? And yesterday I said, anybody who takes the over in this game is a nincompoop. And you explained to me why maybe you should. And I've thought about that even more. And Justin Herbert pops up again yesterday on the injury report. He was a DNP on Wednesday. Yesterday he was limited. The video of Justin Herbert does not look good. He looks, I'm serious about this, less mobile than Russell Wilson has looked in some of the clips coming out of Steelers practice. He's got the leg thoroughly taped up. He hurt his ankle in the last game. Coming into this season, he's been dealing with plantar fasciitis. And so I could see, Doran, upon reflection, upon thought, because you said this, why not take the game to them?
Right.
Why not come out, not guns a-blazing, but why not come out thoughtfully aggressive, try to put points on the board against a team that wants to run the ball just like you do, but whose quarterback can't escape trouble. Not going to be mobile.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people aren't as mobile as Justin Fields. Justin Herbert's a very mobile quarterback. He's not going to be. So if you could get up 10-0, and now all of a sudden he's not turning around, handing it off to J.K. Dobbins, instead you got to throw the ball. And you got Alex Highsmith, and you got T.J. Watt, you got Nick Herbig, and you got Cam Hayward, you got Larry Ogunjobi, and you...
At home,
pinning your ears back, renegade a blaring. It makes sense, man. You come out, you take the game to them. You walk in your meeting room today if you're Mike Tomlin, which is when he looks at some of the big keys of the game, and you say, guys, they want to do this. Let's not let them do this.
Right.
It makes a ton of sense, Doran. It does.
Right.
Like,
you get a lot of answers. And you can afford a loss. Like, you went on the road. You got some two significant wins. You know, who cares what the team is? You went on the road first two games of the year. They didn't do that last year and got some wins. Like, not saying that you want to lose, but like, why not get some answers? And if you lose, okay, so be it. Then you reevaluate, and then you head to Indianapolis next week, and then you know what you can do. So, like, you've learned a lot, but you didn't learn enough yet. You know what you could do as a football team to win a football game. Let's see what you can do to actually take a game to somebody else and win in a different way.
Yeah.
Because if you win in multiple ways, and especially in the NFL, college, I mean, football in general, if you can win in multiple ways, then you have a good football team and you can compete whenever it actually matters in January.
Yes.
Like, whether it's and you'd like to know that a little bit early, and especially whenever you have a backup quarterback that could possibly be your future quarterback, and, you know, all the stuff that actually really matters in this situation, you could find out, I think, against this team, and you could say it's a quality win if you do win that way. It's a quality performance if you do see Justin Fields just let it loose. Because you're not playing against Carolina. This is a good football team. So you're like, okay, like, we could do it against them. Could do it against anybody.
I buy that, because you need to learn that you can before you have to. You don't want it to be 17-7 Cincinnati with 2 minutes to go in the first half, and that's when you let Justin Fields start playing ball, or Russell Wilson, whomever it is. You don't want to do that. You want to have confidence that if you get to that point, oh, we can do it because we know, because we've done it before. It can't just be, well, shoot, we're really in it now. No, we've been in a position where we've let Justin Fields drop back and throw it on 8 of 11 passes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have the confidence, you've got that point of reference. It makes a ton of sense, man.
And you can believe it, and you believe in your defense too, and they can also bring you back from the dead. So it's like you got a little safety blanket, and you don't want to fully rely, but like, you do have a safety blanket.
Mm-hmm.
You do, to be able to do those things that we want to see in the game on Sunday with Justin Fields.
Right. So what you're saying is, you go out there, Justin turns it over on the first possession, and Los Angeles has it at the plus 40 yard line. Okay, you've got the best defense in the league. Force a punt. Yeah, bad field position, but force a punt. Make a play.
Yeah, field goal.
Yeah, hold them to a field goal.
Right.
Live to fight.
They could do that.
That's really how you win with defense in 2024. Not making it 9-6, but winning 20-17, 24-21, and your defense making plays in the critical moments, third downs, red zone, end of game. I'm with you on that. More from Arthur Smith when we come back, and wait till you hear what Broderick Jones had to say yesterday. Very critical of himself. And maybe a growing up moment for him. You can text us. Brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. How does Arthur Smith view Justin Fields' first two games? We'll let you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Here,
there's a lot of positives. You know, we haven't had to pit the ball up a ton, and that's, again, a credit to the way that Mike sets the table and the way we're built right now, you know, as we evolve in the season. I mean, at the end of the day, it's ultimately about winning, and you start worrying about stats this early in the year. You know, you see that with players and coaches. That's the thing you're fighting. It's incentivized. Guys get jobs because, me on bad teams, they have 400-yard games, and having been a head coach, I feel free. You get the big picture. Mike's awesome. The whole organization, it's about winning. Period. Playing very smart football, situationally, understanding the plan, understanding the attack and what we're trying to accomplish. And what's been encouraging to me is his pocket presence. Been standing in there when the pocket's gotten dirty, when they brought heat. I thought he's made some big time throws down the field. I thought the deep ball accuracy was pretty damn good. Been very encouraged. He's a young player in this league, barely older than some of these rookies that have been drafted that are playing now. And you need those reps. He's awesome to work with. That's all been a positive.
Man, Arthur Smith likes himself some Justin Fields. I didn't hear a lie there. At least my eyes have confirmed everything that Arthur Smith said there. Now, Arthur's forgotten more about football than I'll ever know, but all those things seem true to me. Doran, the pocket presence has been good. He's taken a couple of bad sacks in each game, but not five or six, which is what he was doing in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he does stand in there and take some hits and deliver the football, which... And we haven't seen the last few years. You saw it a little bit more with Mason Rudolph. Like, there's a couple throws that come immediately to mind with Mason at the end of last year. But I think that Justin Fields has impressed them more than some fans would allow for, if that makes sense. Like, I look on social media in the second half of the game, oh, this Justin Fields, blah, blah, blah. They're more enamored with Fields than I think at least half the fan base is.
Well, I think that he has those things that you can't teach, and the things that you can teach, he's responding to. I think that that's why that in-house that they're like, yeah, okay, like we can work with this. Like, this guy did retain the things that we were trying to teach and trying to teach out of him. He is responding to that, and then whenever you have somebody that can respond to that, fix their game, be taught, be a good student, learn – and you have those big-time qualities and intangibles, it's like, you know, it's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. And it's like you still want to take baby steps, but at the same time, it's enticing to do what, you know, kind of what I'm calling for on Sunday. But he obviously is responding in a manner that makes them feel very, very good about him because he has all those things that you can't teach. And whenever that all melds together, then you have a big-time player.
He looks like a different player.
For sure.
Than the one in Chicago.
Different quarterback, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And I mean that in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
His detractors, the people who said that Justin Fields, it wasn't the right move for the Steelers even before they acquired him, all those people would say he puts the ball on the ground too much and he throws the ball to the other team too much and he takes way too many bad sacks. And we really haven't seen that. A couple times ball's been on the ground. Center quarterback exchange, though. It's weird to me. It's not the same as being careless with the football. Like, you just got to work on that kind of deal. Like, if he were running, like, LeSean McCoy would always run with that ball out
yep.
there. I never got that. It was cool to watch,
mm-hmm.
Except in one game in particular for me. But if he's running around like that, or if he, you know, taking sacks in the pocket like Kurt Warner did with the Giants, and every time he gets hit, he's fumbling the football, that would concern me. He's not done that in Pittsburgh. Two games, and... PFF, not the be-all, end-all, totally understand that, hasn't been charged with a single turnover-worthy throw. Not one through two games. And if you go back to last year, that was simply not the case. Simply not the case. He's not the only quarterback, though, that's different in this game. Justin Herbert has not played well through two games. And he's handed the ball off a lot. And I think that Jim Harbaugh probably came in always wanting to do that. But, Doran, I'm wondering if the plantar fasciitis, even before the ankle injury, has affected the way that they want to play football. Like, I'm sure they want to run it. But when you've got Justin Herbert, I don't think you want to run it as much as they have. And I'm just wondering how limited he's been. Because He's been inaccurate. I've seen some cut-ups of some of his misses. Just really uncharacteristic from Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been close to what he's been in the past.
I think that they're thoughtful, too, about, and Harbaugh is very thoughtful. Think about what he did last year. And, you know, he had J.J. McCarthy, and I don't know, we don't know what he's going to be like in the NFL and as a real quarterback, but that's how he treated J.J. McCarthy.
He did.
But these type of coaches, and especially like the old school ones like Harbaugh, which is an offensive mind, but it is cut from the same cloth as Mike Tomlin. Like, they want to establish something to not have to make their quarterback the hero until he needs to be the hero later on in the season. So if you can take the onus off of somebody like Herbert's shoulders, I feel, I mean, this is just, we're just spitballing. If you could take the onus off of his shoulders and have it create a running game, you know that he could be there. Like, you know that he's Justin Herbert. You know that he's a $250 million quarterback. So you get to later in the season, towards the end of October, middle or in beginning of November, and then you start letting Justin be Justin. You establish that run game. And that's what we're talking about, having that playoff team. Having a big. And Harbaugh knows exactly what he's doing in that situation. So I see what you're saying. Like, maybe he's not the same, but I think it's more thoughtful and more on purpose for the stats you see for Herbert and what he has done in the first two games.
And it could simply be, in addition to that, you're trying to minimize the weaknesses of your football team.
That too.
They don't have weapons.
That too.
Like, I think Quentin Johnson can be a really good NFL receiver. I saw him a lot, Big 12 football fan I am, when he was at TCU. Guy's a dog, and he is their leading receiver, but with 80-some-odd yards. I mean, it's kind of like looking in the mirror, the Steelers and the Chargers. And Arthur Smith, hey, he's got some holes on this offense in terms of the personnel, and it's the same thing with the Chargers. And you're trying to hide your problems, and you're trying to accentuate what you are good at. I'm reading something here on boltbeat.com. So they cover the Chargers, obviously. If it were to be Easton Stick in this game, they write, Stick was borderline unwatchable in the preseason. He completed 45% of his passes, 5.5 yards per attempt, threw one touchdown to three interceptions. In the preseason.
Yeah.
One touchdown, three picks. Again, PFF not be all end all, 36.3 PFF passing grade. I'm going to guess they're shooting him up, Justin Herbert playing him in this football game.
Mm-hmm.
But I would expect him to be limited. All right, coming up next, Broderick Jones addressed his poor play. And it's not often that a guy says exactly what the fan base wants to hear. I think Jones did that yesterday. We'll talk about, I can't play the audio. There's a lot of cursing. A lot of cursing. But we'll get to that coming up next.
Well, you see a lot of guys who are extremely talented, and they come to camp after having a pretty good season the year before, and they think they've arrived, and they think that I'm good, right? And sometimes you get complacent. And let's just take his own words. I mean, I'm saying something that is completely in line with his evaluation of his play. After the Bills game, Mike Prezuta asked him a question in the locker room on the south side, like a day or two after the game.
Yeah.
Right? He asked him, is it your elbow? Is your elbow impacting how you play? What did Broderick Jones say? It's not the brace. It's just me being able to lock into football. Hello. What lock into? What does that mean? I need to be more focused. If you're not focused, you're not interested in what's going on. If you're interested, you're focused. If you're focused, you're locked in. So he said it. He said he's not interested right now. He's got to be better and be locked in. He needs to improve his game and grow.
Chris Hoke with Joe Starkey. Hokie's always locked in.
Yes.
He is always locked in. And he took exception to me saying that it was Bush League that he would question Broderick Jones's effort. And look, I didn't know that Hokie was there every day in training camp. And Hokie knows how to watch football, much like you do, different than I know how to watch football, which is to say you have more educated eyes. I just think sometimes there's the obvious, and he's walking around with that bulky brace. I figure, okay, he's not healthy, but he hasn't used it as an excuse. And yesterday, Broderick Jones spoke, and man, Doran, he said exactly what I kind of wanted to hear from him. Can't play the audio for, you're about to find out, obvious reasons. Here's what he said, quote, bleep, I played bad. That's all it is at the end of the day. You bleep up, you get pulled. The sense of urgency is there a little bit more now. So he knows he screwed up.
Uh-huh.
Now, the question is, was the hunger now? Is that a tacit admission that the hunger wasn't there before and he needed to get benched to play bad in order for the hunger to be there. Is he vindicating Hoke is, I guess, what I'm asking there.
He shouldn't need that to spark that hunger. You know, like, that's... I do think it was a focus thing. I think that there's some other things maybe going on that football is not first. And that happens, as you know, we talk about all the time. I mean, you hear Whaley talk about it here, Pat Bostic talk about it yesterday. Like, you know, whenever you do lose a position-ish, it does hit you in a way. And you either respond or you sulk in it. And maybe he was sulking a little bit with Faltanu being a first-round pick and really getting anointed that right tackle spot without even playing. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of factors. And maybe... You know, he goes in there, he gets an opportunity, and that's all you can ask for. The first thing you need to learn as a young NFL player is, take advantage of every opportunity, because opportunities are very slim. It doesn't matter if you're a first-round pick, doesn't matter if you're an undrafted guy, opportunities are slim, and he got another opportunity even to rotate, and he messed that up. It's kind of like, all right, I got to do some self-searching, some soul-searching. And hopefully that is... you know, what sparks him, but I just don't see him getting another opportunity
right.
to be able to show... you know, he could be the player that we think he could be until, you know, maybe there's an injury.
Right.
So I just don't see him getting another opportunity, and he kind of wasted it.
Yeah, they say that they were going to give him an opportunity this week in practice, but we all know that that doesn't mean he's going to get an opportunity to start.
No, that means you're going to get an opportunity to be a part of this team.
Right. You're the swing tackle
yeah.
right now, which... through a year now and change, that's a failure. That's not where you want him to be. That's not where he wants to be. I do think you're right. I think unless there's an injury, you're not going to see Broderick Jones anytime soon. And I'm going to have to agree with that at this point. Agree with their thinking, their thought process on it, I mean. You can't go out there and put on film what you put on film last week and expect to get in the lineup anytime soon. And it's supposed to be a meritocracy. You're supposed to earn it. He had an opportunity to stave off his competition.
Right.
He could have gone out there and outplayed Troy Faltanu, and now all of a sudden you got a real decision to make if you're the Steelers. He made it easy on them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't reward a guy for making it easy on you because your play was that bad. That's one of the worst drives you can possibly have as an offensive lineman at any level when you have three penalties on one drive. Like... we've seen offense down around the league, and we'll get into maybe some of those reasons. I'm curious your thoughts on that a little bit later on in the show. You're not going to convert second and 30s, Doran, in the NFL.
Mm.
It's not going to happen. You're not going to get out of Dodge at second and 15. It does not happen, especially with a young line, especially with a quarterback that you're trying to spoon feed and bring along slowly. So he doesn't deserve to play right now. It at least seems like he understands that. And maybe that's the first step to getting better. The thing people got to remember, too, is he's 23 years old. He was young when he came out. He's young in terms of football. Might be young in terms of football maturity. I'm starting to see that maybe Chris Hoke was right, and I listen to you and what you think about the situation and what Trey Essex has said. Like, okay, man, you got your scare. Now, you're going to have to be ready when your opportunity comes.
Yeah.
Like, when there is an injury, you better go in there and be good.
That's the toughest part, too, like with a young player, is like whenever you are in this situation and you get an opportunity in practice and you're like, okay, I have to be ready. It's hard to stay ready whenever you're not getting any action. Like, it is hard to keep your mind involved, engaged, whenever you know that I could possibly not be in there.
Yeah.
I could possibly not play. You know how hard it is to keep your mindset like, okay, like whenever I do get my opportunity, I got to be ready. But knowing where you're at last year and knowing that it's almost impossible unless there's an injury for me to get in there, I can't even prove that I'm ready. It's hard to keep that mindset of like staying ready because you just want to disengage. It's so easy to disengage too.
Yeah.
I mean, like in a second, you could just be like, eh, whatever.
I'm not starting.
It.
Yeah.
That's it.
You got to prepare like a starter, right?
Yeah. It's hard to do that every day whenever you're not going to start.
Yeah.
And like if you are in Broderick Jones's position. Now, as an undrafted guy, as a backup like a Spencer Anderson, yeah, I'll prepare every day. Like, even myself, like, I was third tight end, you know, special teams guy. I'm preparing hard every day. I'm not the starter. Or I wasn't the starter last year. If I was the starter last year and then I got bumped back and I still got to prepare like that mentally, that's very hard to do that every single day knowing that you're not going to get an opportunity.
Yeah, it's a kick to the ego
Oh, yeah.
I played last year. The running game took off last year. Oh, now you're not going to play me. And... it does make sense what Hoke said. He said he's seen it before. You're the starter. All of a sudden, other guys can get better. They bring in a player who's more ready than you, and Troy Fautanu, who Dan Moore, he did the opposite.
Yep.
He said, look, they drafted this kid. His ego could have taken a punch, and he could have gone in the tank. And instead, he didn't, and he's playing maybe the best football of his career. Maybe the best two-game stretch of his career. So I think he deserves to be commended. Broderick better be ready, because look at man. You got one second chance. Like, that's what that was to me on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's a second chance. Uh-huh. Go out there and show us what you can do. You fail the third chance, you might not be seeing a second contract.
Yep.
You might not be seeing the end of your first contract. Not to be dramatic, but just calling it like we see it. Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened. I saw the lovely Rochelle yesterday, your lady, and she said something to you. I'm not sure if it's a compliment or not, and I wonder how people might feel about this. So we'll bring that up next. Vibe check at 7. So much football. Steelers Pit on the way. All right, 7 o'clock rolling up pretty soon here, because it's the 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. On a Friday during football season, we like to get your pulse. The pulse of the people, Doran. Vibe check at 412-928-9370. How do you think the Steelers are going to play this one? Give us player predictions. Give us score predictions. We just want to hear from you on how you think this game is going to play out. Coming up at 7 o'clock, 412-928-9370. Get in line now, because the best caller wins Sebastian Maniscalco tickets at PPG Paints Arena on September 26th. We were just talking about first-round picks who didn't live up to first-round status but hung around. Darius Hayward Bay played in the league for 10 years, 7th overall pick by the Raiders way back when, 2009. Mm. And for 5 years with the Steelers, he did nothing really apart from being a gunner. And he was eager. He showed up every day, busting his ass to hang around. A lot of guys don't do that. And the reason we got on that was because of Broderick Jones. Real quick, one last thing on Broderick for me. A lot of people want to blame the Steelers about this. And I've said before, I don't think they've handled this great. But at the end of the day, you were a starter last year. You have two tackle spots available to you. And you're not outplaying either player.
Right.
At a certain point, the responsibility falls on the individual.
Yes.
And in this case, he's just not performed well enough.
The Steelers are going to play the best players because they want to win. So obviously he's not the best player right now.
Right.
And it falls on you to not be that player. And whenever you had that spot and you had, a progression last year that you thought that this year, oh man, year two, you're thinking Broderick Jones. Okay, he played right tackle. Let's move him over to his natural spot at left. He's going to be that much better of a player, and he has regressed.
Nobody told Dan Moore.
No.
Right? That's our left tackle of the future, Broderick Jones. Omar Khan said it.
Yep.
Dan Moore's like, nah.
No.
Nah.
Nope.
And you are allowed to improve. You are allowed to get better. And that's the thing with Broderick, too. I'm not selling him up bleeps creek. He's 23. Played 10 games in college, started 8. He's allowed to get better, too. And he's just going to have to not play games right now, and he's going to have to make hay in practice, and when he gets the opportunity, then it's time to shove.
I know I brought up this scenario, the trade scenario, yeah, with him, but if it's probably that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Their best bet is that Broderick works every single day in practice and just hones in. Dan Moore plays fantastic this year, hits the free agent market, then Broderick's a left tackle for next year.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you can hope for right,
yeah,
now.
I think they viewed him, and we all said it at the time, and all the draft Knicks said it, he's a project, he's projectable, he's got great skills, he's got great size, he's prototypical left tackle, but he wasn't, in a lot of people's minds, ready. He wasn't. And to not have it all figured out year two is not ideal, but it doesn't mean that it's over for him by any means. So I ran into Rochelle yesterday, and what'd she say to you about me whenever you talked to her afterwards?
She said that you look healthy, I think. That's what she said.
Is that a compliment?
Yes.
You
sure? She said that you were very scrawny she feels like you were very scrawny the last time she saw you. And the last couple times. And initially, whenever she first met you, you were very scrawny and like unhealthy looking. And now that you look healthy, you look like you're basically like matured.
I gained weight is what happened.
No, you look normal. She's saying that before you didn't look normal. You look like Voldemort or whatever his name was. What's the little guy?
I mean, what does he say?
You mean from Harry Potter?
Yeah, that little thing.
You mean Dobby?
Whatever his name.
Oh, no, that's so much worse.
She didn't say that. I said that. Now you look like Harry Potter. With a beard.
And then
she was like...
She was like an 11-year-old wizard.
I looked. You know what I said to her? I was like, did he have a hat on? And she was like, yeah, he just looked different. I was like, did he have a hat on? She was like, no. I was like, well, he just got a haircut. She was like, he has a good head of hair. I was like, yeah, he does have a good head of hair.
All right, I'll take that.
Yeah.
He also ran into someone from my high school who said they couldn't place me from before, so then they looked me up and said I've had a glow up.
Yes, you're getting a lot of compliments.
That is a compliment, but let me tell you something. I don't have to look good now to have glown up from high school.
Yeah, that's true.
We're talking hair to my shoulders, pimples for days, and I probably weighed 112 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why didn't my mom ever just come into my room and say, Adam, listen, this is going to be tough for you to hear. You're ugly. You're going to have to figure that one out.
Because she loves you.
I know, but like, I wish someone would have been like, dude, what are you doing with the hair?
She left it up to you to figure it out, and you figured it out, and she was right.
I don't know what the hell my wife ever saw.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
It was your wit.
Yeah, that must be it.
Your personality. Mm-hmm. Your beautiful personality.
Thank you, Mom. I appreciate that. Is you look healthy a compliment? Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Trust, PJ.com. Back to the football next with a vibe check. Thoughts, predictions on Steelers, Chargers. Give us a ring, 412-928-9370. Best caller wins a pair of tickets to Sebastian Maniscalco at PPG Paints Arena on September 26th. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500. 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.